This is the Happy Rant Sports Podcast, in which Ted Cluck and Barnabas Piper rant about old sports, new sports books, sports movies, and anything else related to sports that they feel like. Enjoy.
Hey, welcome to the Happy Rant Sports Podcast. I am Ted Cluck, joined, as always, in studio by my good friend, my partner in sports radio, Barnabas Piper. Pipe, we've got another one on tap, another film study. This is like Happy Rant Sports film sessions. And today we're going to be breaking down the 1990 NBA Slam Dunk Contest, which I couldn't be more excited about. This is back in the era when like the stars still did the dunk contest. All the uniforms were good. Presentation was awesome. I can't wait to dive into this. But before we do, I want to talk about a sponsor, Pipe. And this sponsor is near and dear to me, near and dear to my heart. And it's my employer, Union University. We are no longer on campus because we are good at quarantining, and we're doing the right things to keep people safe. But one of the things I love is being on campus at Union. I love my job. I'm a journalism professor. I teach in the communication arts department, and, just want to talk about Union a little bit. We are a Christian liberal arts school. We have about 3,500 enrollment, I think, so not too terribly small. Some of these places you go to have like 800 or 900 kids and they feel tiny. Union is not like that. But we're also not too big. We're the kind of place where you can have lots of good relationships, personal relationships with your professors. Since I became a mom and joined Marco Polo, I've been checking in on my students that way, which has been a lot of fun. It's a vibrant place, man. And it's a great place to study writing, great place to study journalism. You have a chance to take podcasting classes, creative nonfiction with me, memoir, personal essay, long interviews. We do all the things, man. And I, at the risk of like flexing, I think we do them at a pretty high level. We win a lot of awards for our work in journalism and comm arts. And Union is just a great place to study. So while you're quarantined, while you're locked up at home, parents and students, check out uu.edu. Schedule a visit to campus. We're doing those virtually now, which is pretty cool. So you'll get to link up with Union people virtually, and then I'm sure get to campus once everything lifts. And we would love to have you at Union.
Do you have very enthusiastic digital tour guides? Because I feel like that's the selling point of all on-campus tours is like the sophomore girl who could not be more in love with her campus.
Yeah, dude, they're wearing like the red polo and the name tag. And
looks like a Target employee. That's right. Yeah.
Like, you know, they're not doing coke. You know, they're not like snorting a line of coke off the back of the toilet in their dorm room. But you kind of wonder because of the enthusiasm. I've never seen them do one virtually, dude. So like, I'm so bad at hiding my emotions and I'm so like kind of glum about this at
and
some
all
level.
The listeners said amen.
I would be a bad virtual tour guide. It would just be me in like a workout t-shirt and a ball cap, kind of, you know, giving it my best, but they would know my heart wasn't in it. But my heart really is in this. I love where I work, man. I think it's a great school. It's unabashedly Christian, but you don't have to be Christian to go there, which is, I think, a really unique to me selling point. It was one of the coolest selling points as I was thinking about coming down here and becoming a faculty member, because it gives just a real rich opportunity for ministry. It keeps the student body from being too homogenous. You know, it's not just like across the board, you know, North Face rich Christian white kids like it was at Wheaton and Taylor where we went to school. So a little bit different vibe, which I love. Really, really enjoy it. So uu.edu, check it out. Piper, we have film to break down, though, and far be it for me to get too distracted from that. I'm ready, man. I'm ready to dive into some 1990s NBA. Now, before we get into it, just by way of a preface, talk about some of your favorite things about the NBA from this era. You were a young kid at this point. I was in 1990. I was a freshman in high school, so I was pretty into all this stuff. Talk about your station in life in 1990.
Well, I have no recollection of 1990 NBA basketball with just a couple exceptions, because the Minnesota Timberwolves became a team in, I think it was the 89-90 season. And I remember going to a couple of the games. They played in the Metrodome their first year, maybe their first 2 years before they
Dude, which is dope. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, there's some great shots. And they would, I mean, so I think they hold the record, the NBA attendance record for largest single game attendance, because most NBA games have not been played in football stadiums. So I think they got, you know, 40 or 50,000 people in there for some of those games. And I remember going to one or two, and then, you know, and then as they moved into the Target Center, I remember sitting baseline in one game. So I was probably, in 1990, I was seven, so not a ton of recollections. So for like 91, 92, I remember going to a game. Somebody must have given my family tickets, because there's no way my parents would have sprung for like third row baseline tickets.
And
just watching Sean Kemp destroy the rim and the Timberwolves and everything. It was the 92-93 season, I think, that I really became an NBA fan. So that was the year the Suns played the Bulls in the finals. And I loved that Suns team. So Dan Majerle, Danny Ainge, Kevin Johnson, Charles Barkley, and so forth. Like, just such a fun team. And I really hated the Bulls.
Really?
Yes, I despised them. And, you know, over the course of the 90s, came to appreciate the Bulls for how good they were, but still really wanted to see them lose.
Dude, now, can I go in on your Bulls hatred a little bit for like 2 minutes? Was it mostly born of being like a kid in the Midwest in a competing city, or was it born of like just Jordan fatigue and being sick of seeing them on the cover of Sports Illustrated every week? Like what was the... what was the like the root of your Bulls hatred?
I think
then I have
it
a Sean Kemp thing I want to talk about.
I think it was mainly being a contrarian kid. Like, they owned the NBA. They just it was Jordan and the Bulls, and then there was everybody else. And there were some great teams. Like, every team that Jordan and the Bulls beat in the finals was a phenomenal team. Like, they didn't there was no asterisk wins for them. And but so that Suns team, and then the Sonics team that they beat. I think that was the first finals that they won after Jordan's retirement and baseball hiatus. So what would that have been, 95, 96, something like that?
Yeah.
Loved that Sonics team, too. And again, really wanted to
that
see him beat the Bulls.
Awesome.
I was, however, rooting for the Bulls over the Jazz, because I have always... I just had a long-standing I can't stand the Jazz, and I hated Karl Malone so much.
Interesting.
Just these are irrational hatreds of youth. There's not a... like, I hate the Yankees because they're the evil empire. I hate the Packers because they're a rival.
Yeah.
In the 90s in NBA, I just hated teams because I was like between 10 and 16 and just didn't like them. So...
dude, I love that you picked the Suns to like, man. That's the ultimate like contrarian move. You know what I mean? Just super random. Like, it's a city you'd probably never been to at that point in your life.
I didn't go to Phoenix for the first time until like 3 years ago. So, nice city if you're not there in June.
Exactly. Did you buy some gear, dude? Way back in the day?
I had a purple Charles Barkley jersey. I had a hat. It was like, and you know, like early 90s hats. It was one of those ones that had like, you know, it looks like somebody, it was like splatter paint almost, just obnoxiously bright colors. And plus, their colors were purple and orange, which are really bright. They're really bright shades. And so, I would rock out the full Suns. I think I might have even had a pair of Suns basketball shorts. And since I was like 4'10" and rather pudgy at that point, they were probably like Suns
capris. Dude, you look
capris.
Like,
I was wearing
like
Kuwats.
You look like Charles Barkley at that point. You look like... probably like more like Oliver Miller, you know.
That's the thing is, there was a phase of my life where I gravitated towards shorter, chubbier athletes. So Kirby Puckett in baseball, Charles Barkley, like short for a basketball player, round mound of rebound, you know. And then in '95, Kevin Garnett came into the league, and he then rearranged my basketball priorities entirely. Because he was and always will be my favorite basketball player, and was neither short nor fat.
Dude, you know what I loved about buying gear in the 90s was the fact that it was before a league had one uniform manufacturer. So it was totally random, right? So like the Bulls might wear like champion jerseys, and the T-Wolves might wear like Adidas gear, whatever. So all the gear was different. Like all the jackets were a little different. The hats were a little different. Dude, the 90s was like the greatest era of buying gear, because there was a lot of gear, it wasn't like the 60s or the 70s where you just couldn't find the stuff. But like, so the gear was everywhere, but it had all these different little design flourishes because of the different manufacturers, man. And yeah, I join you in hating the Jazz from that era because I think they just had the grossest gear. Like their uniform was gross. It wasn't the awesome, like kind of throwback Jazz look that they have now. It was that weird, like jagged mountainscape or whatever in the background.
There was zero likability about that team. Like Karl Malone was surly and cheated. John Stockton was like a cyborg who cheated. Boring Jeff Hornacek was like an accountant with a jumper. and Jerry Sloan just looked like he was the teacher you just, or like the principal that you were like, oh no, here he comes. Like, he had that look about him. Yeah, there was this,
Jerry Sloan was actually, he was the assistant principal. He was the guy that did all the discipline.
Yeah, that's true. You know? Yeah, he's like the dean of students or whatever. And just,
Right.
Or he would have the title like headmaster. And he kept a paddle on the wall of his office. Yeah, I hated them so much. And I think in retrospect, like, the kind of fan I am now, if I went back and watched them, I probably would really appreciate how they played and, you know, the consistency and the discipline. I mean, they were excellent for a long, long time. But regardless, couldn't stand them. Have never liked Karl Malone. I'm offended that he ranks as highly as he does in the all-time scoring list. Like, that just feels unjust to me because he's not a top 15 or 20 NBA player, but he's like a top 5 all-time scorer. That just seems... Yeah,
they had no cool, fun people on that team, which is shocking because in the 90s, even crappy teams had like fun, cool guys. You know what I mean? Like even before the Suns got good, they had like Cedric Ceballos and Tom Chambers, who was like oddly cool for a white guy. And I don't know, you could find somebody cool on almost every NBA roster. Well,
and they didn't play with any like
flash
flare.
It felt like
you could roll George Mikan out there and be like, oh yeah, he can get 15 minutes a game on this team, you know.
Exactly,
set shots and hook shots, right, and I feel like Donovan Mitchell is the first player who's dunked for them since Karl Malone. Like there's just they've remained boring somehow. I don't know how that happened,
dude. They're kind of like they were the physical embodiment of the city that they lived in a lot of ways. Yeah, well, just kind of.
No caffeine.
You know? Yeah, just kind of boring. No caffeine, you know, nothing else fun.
Extra white people.
Exactly, man. It's like more white people per capita than most NBA rosters. I mean, they really were the perfect fit for their community, for sure. But, dude, let's talk about a fun team. Let's talk about a team that had, like, tons of cool guys on it, and that's the Seattle Supersonics.
Oh man,
it kills me that they no longer have a franchise because that's a great basketball town.
There will be a Seattle Supersonic heavily featured in the video that we are about to watch, which makes me very happy.
Well, dude, I want to talk about Sean Kemp because have we talked about how he was the greatest in-game dunker of all time, or was that a conversation I had with somebody else?
I don't know. Let's have it again if we've had it. I'm up for it.
Yeah. Well, dude, he was just a phenomenal in-game dunker, like these spectacular things that he would pull off. And right before everything got super serious with the Corona deal, I watched Bull Sonics from like 1995 with one of my students. And we were marveling at his athleticism, man. It was just a lot of fun. And Gary Payton's on that team, like so many fun dudes.
That team, Hershey Hawkins, Detlef Schrempf, they were so fun. And
dude, Detlef Schrempf, cool white dude.
Yeah, too. great 90s hair too. Had like top mullety kind of thing.
Yeah.
He's a guy who would have been better playing 15, 20 years later. Because
totally, dude. Yeah, the NBA is made for him now.
He was a great shooter in an era where nobody shot.
Right.
And so being a stretch four now, he would have been a more valuable player. Like he's the kind of guy every team wants now. Like if not running him out there 30 minutes a game, at least give him, you know, 15, 17 minutes off the bench and let him put up 5 threes and he'll hit 40% of them.
Dude, can I talk about another cool white guy from the 90s from your team, from the Suns? Do you know who I'm talking about?
Dan Marley?
Thunder Dan, dude. Thunder Dan Marley from Central Michigan. He was a Chippewa. And we're watching these 90s NBA games in my classroom. And that was before the league garnered an awareness of the three-pointer and how important it was. So, like, Dude, Thunder Dan would be spotting up for these long twos, like 6 inches inside the 3-point line. Oh, and he was incredible. I mean, yeah. He was a knockdown shooter, just really good. But like, just super funny that the long two was such a prominent thing in the 90s.
Yeah, it is baffling to me that it took until Steph Curry broke basketball. And I don't mean broke in a bad way. I mean like broke the conventions of basketball. For people to realize that getting 50% more per shot is a really big deal. And if you trade threes for twos, you come out way, way ahead of the other team. So, Larry Bird's, I don't think he ever made 100 threes in a season. I'm trying to remember. I think his maybe career high might have been around 100. Whereas guys now are putting up 300, 400 threes, made threes a season. It's insane. Yeah.
Dude, can we talk about another funny 90s NBA thing is the fact that, like, if you were 7 feet tall in the 90s, you were just for sure going to the NBA.
Yes.
Even if you had no skills. So, like, every team had at least two just huge lumbering big men that they would inexplicably kind of run the offense through. Like, watching 90s Bulls basketball, it's shocking because they had Bill Cartwright and Will Perdue kind of on a rotation. Neither guy was super skilled, right? If you were playing an NBA game in 2019, like, you wouldn't want either guy touching the ball hardly at all. But like, every trip down the floor, it was like, oh, we gotta bang it inside to, you know, Bill Cartwright so that he can, you know, kick it back outside or get fouled or whatever. And it was just like amazing. Like, if you were a 7-footer in the 90s, you were for sure making NBA money.
Well, have you listened to any of the Bill Simmons Book of Basketball podcasts?
Dude, I haven't, but I got to. I hear they're phenomenal.
They are really good. The recent ones, they've been going back and redrafting mid to late 90s drafts. So like the Iverson draft, the Kobe draft. I guess those guys might have been the same one. I can't remember. But what you notice is the number of terrible big men who go high. Even in like 97, 98, 99. I mean, that was true all the way up into the early 2000s. So like Michael Olowokandi going first overall in the same draft that Paul Pierce was in. There was an era where like 7 feet guaranteed you a roster spot. And if you were 7 feet and had played 4 years of college basketball at a, you know, any school, it's like, yeah, you're a first rounder. Like, you're going to be a guaranteed millionaire just for being tall and having been on a college roster. It was insane.
Dude, Olowokandi is the perfect example of that. I was watching a late 90s Clippers game, and they had all these super athletic dudes. So this would have, maybe it was early 2000s. It would have been like Darius Miles and Lamar Odom. Quentin Richardson, Corey Maggette, just some freak shows, some freaky athletic guys.
None of whom could shoot.
Quentin
Richardson could shoot, but.
Literally every trip down the floor, man, it was like Olowokandi posts up. We kick the ball into Olowokandi. It was like he was Shaq. You know, they were just like, this guy's going to produce. And it's just so funny, man. The league was so different back then. But Piper, should we get into this tape?
Yeah, let's do this thing. So brief introduction on this. This is the 1990 NBA dunk contest. So this is not one of the famous dunk contests. You know, it's not the 87 one where it was Jordan and Dominique and Spud Webb. It's not the one where Jordan dunked from the free throw line. Yeah. It was an era where like the dunk contest was still great, but it was after the initial pioneering of it and before like Vince Carter reinvented it. So it was an interesting era, but also an era where really good players still showed up to dunk in it. And it's just fascinating to watch because there's a handful of role players. There's a couple guys who were like okay basketball players, but really good dunkers.
Yeah.
And then two or three just mega superstars for their era. And
nice.
And the judging in 1990 wasn't any better than the judging now, with one exception.
Okay.
They didn't give out 50s. Now they give out 50s. They give out 50s for like smiling. So,
bro, it's just like school.
Yeah.
Right?
Like it really just is. Like great inflation. So, like the last couple dunk contests, there's been a you know, there's been controversy around it. I'm like, well, that's what happens when you give up 50s in the first round because a guy, you know, put on a Superman cape or whatever. Right. And so I don't think a single 50 was given out in this dunk contest. So
interesting.
There was a, which makes it actually competitive because now like tenths of points matter and things like that. It's, and the announcers are very into it. They're very critical. They predict certain dunks. It's pretty fun. So I,
that's awesome.
So
dude, you know what? So I'm on the, I'm paused at 0.0 right now, but I'm going to tell you a thing I love about it right away. The fact that it's in Miami Arena. So this was pre like naming rights of every building. If it was now, it'd be like, you know, DeVos Tebow Lifeway Arena, you know, but like Miami Arena. Name of the
Quicken
city.
Quicken Loans, Fast Cash, Get in Debt Arena. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Quicken Loans, Fast Cash, Chick-fil-A, you know, Popeye's Arena.
Well, then the court would be branded something different. It's like Krzyzewski Court at, what's Camden? What's Duke Stadium?
Yeah, I don't know, dude.
And like the court or Dean Smith Court at whatever it is in North Carolina. Yeah. Yeah, they just start naming different parts to honor a person and get their money. And
dude, now that's, let's think about that. Like, how much would you have to give Wheaton College to get the court named after you? Not John, not Piper Court, not because people would think John Piper, but like Barnabas Piper Court. Are we talking like a mil or like a half? I don't even know. Like, I don't even know what the scale is for something like that.
I think if it was the current one, I don't know that I could give enough to get it renamed after me. If I was to like build them a new one, which means you're talking, you're talking seven figures at that point.
Like I'm talking about just the floor, though, like the court.
Yeah, but even that, like, it would have to be a new one. Maybe not, because, like, right now, Wheaton's basketball gym is King Arena, and who I don't know who that's named after. But, yeah, if it was, like, Piper Court at King Arena, maybe a six-figure donation. I don't know.
There you go, man. Yeah, but put in a new floor for all those thick-ankled white guys to shoot, you know, 17 footers off.
Oh, no, no. They're lots of threes now.
Like, oh, yeah. It's all threes now.
No more 17 footers.
Exactly. All right, dude. Let's get into this. Count me in on when I should press play.
All right. Will do. Here we go. 3, 2, play.
Yes, dude.
And of course, mine doesn't want to load.
Oh, no. Well, tell me to pause, man. You got it.
Yep. I'm probably just a couple seconds behind you. All right, so we've got the pan shot over it. We've got low def. This is my that was a shock to me. Oh, that's right. They don't.
There's not a lot of preamble here. They just got right into it. Yeah. Dude, that Phoenix Suns uniform is sick. Look at that thing.
Man. Yeah, I'm pausing real quick at about 25 seconds. I'm gonna pull up a list of the contestants on this because since we are not listening to it. It would be good to have that. So the first one was, he was sort of like a sneaky underdog in this one. When you compare him to all the other names, you'll recognize everybody else.
Yeah.
All right. It was. Pulling it up here.
Sweet.
Kenny Battle of Phoenix. This was the old Phoenix uniform with like the old script on it. So he just did sort of like a basic 360 to start us off. That's another shocker from watching this is you watch these dunks and you compare it to like what guys do now. And you're like, oh, this is a very different game.
Yeah, dude, the first round dunks were just very standard back in this era. But yeah, that uniform is a beauty, man. That's a beaut right there.
Oh, yeah. It's the second best uniform in this one, I think. So
nice.
All right,
nice.
I'm hitting play again.
All right, me too.
All right, so that was Kenny Battle. Yeah, we get a little replay of it here. Comes in from the left and just 360, kind of a windmill. I mean, it's a nice dunk, but it's like guys do that on a fast break.
Oh,
check
dude.
This out. You know who this is?
Look at Rex.
This is Rex Chapman in the old Charlotte Hornets uniform.
Dude, now Rex had hops, dude. That Rex could get out of the gym.
Yeah.
He was a freak show. Yeah, and look at that uni, man.
Battle got a 42-5 combined on his first one. So I think they just combined the scores of the judges.
So look at Rex. Yep.
So he just flips it over his back and goes up for the... So he kind of tosses it over his own back, over his head, and goes up for the dunk. And
dude, no, that's a dunk he does in the gym, like, 14 times a week. I bet.
Oh yeah, that's like a layup line dunk.
Yeah, for sure.
The fact that he's wearing the white compression shorts that are a solid 5 inches longer than his John Stockton length shorts is.
Dude, I was just gonna comment on that, man. This is like Apex Mountain for compression shorts.
Yeah.
All right, you know, if you were a kid in the 90s, you were running to like
yes.
whatever the sporting goods store was to buy a pair of compresh, man.
All right, hold on. This dunk right here that's about to come up. This is Scottie Pippen going the length of the court.
Yeah.
And starting in on it, following in the footsteps of one
Whoa.
Air Jordan from the free throw line. Pippen from
Dude,
the free
Scottie,
throw line.
What a dunk,
yeah.
man.
So spoiler alert, Scottie gets hosed in this dunk
yeah.
contest. Just
yeah.
no appreciation for what he just did compared to what some of these other guys do. So he takes off and his toe is
Dude,
on the
his
line.
Toe was on it. That wasn't even ambiguous.
I'm pretty sure Jordan stepped more over the line than that, and he still cocked it back
so.
By his head. He just imitated the Jordan free throw line dunk.
That was sweet.
To a T.
Dude, look at these Cosby sweaters on these
oh,
guys.
Yeah.
Incredible. All right, 47.2 for Scottie.
We got
Neek.
Human highlight reel.
Dude, Neek just mailed that one in. That was just kind of like...
He mails in this whole dunk contest. It's just
yeah.
one windmill after another.
Yeah. Dude, that Hawks uniform, though, is
yeah.
a beaut. Why they don't go back to that, I will never know.
Yeah, so Neek had already won... He'd won one or two of these prior, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. Dude, Neek was just collecting a paycheck at this point. There's Jordan looking... fabulous as always.
Yeah, there's a lot of like mock turtlenecks in the stands here.
Yeah,
like
dude.
Very tight shirts. All right, we got uh-huh. Billy Thompson. Billy Thompson was on that what was it? Phi Slamma Jamma Houston team.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So he was
yeah.
part of that team with Clyde Drexler and was Olajuwon on that team?
I think so.
I think so too. Yeah. So yeah, there's
dude, look
there's,
at Zeke and Magic on the sidelines there.
Zeke probably still has that suit, big old baggy thing.
Yeah.
We got two basketballs, Billy Thompson coming up, one on each side of the hoop.
Dude, can we talk about the two basketballs thing?
Do you want to pause it?
Yeah. Like, right. Let's pause real quick. I'm at 3:28.
Right. Yep, same thing.
So, I like the two basketballs thing. I'm not going to lie. And maybe this is my age coming out, but I feel like somebody did that in every dunk contest, like between 1986 and 1992. And I'm kind of here for it. What are your thoughts on two basketballs?
I like it from the perspective of it. It feels like the kind of thing, like, you know, when you could go out on the driveway and you could lower the hoop down to 8 feet as, you
yeah,
know, as like
yeah.
a freshman in high school and kind of make yourself feel like you could jump even when you couldn't. It was,
yep.
it was like one of the things that we would do, except it was like two
yeah.
volleyballs because you couldn't all the way palm a basketball when we were 13.
Right, right.
And I think it's fun in retrospect. I think if a guy did it now, like, well, to
yeah.
be fair, no dunk in the dunk contest really is that impressive now because it's like watching aliens dunk now compared to this stuff. But it was fun.
Dude, if I was an NBA player now, I would come out in short Stockton shorts with long compression shorts, and I would do all these like first round 1990 dunks. I'd go two balls. I'd go just like that little Rex Chapman thing, and the whole thing would be an homage to like 1990. It would be a big joke that nobody would get.
They did something probably 7-8 years ago, maybe longer than that now, in the dunk contest where one of the rounds was impersonating classic old dunks.
Oh, I love it, dude.
And so they would love show them a video, and then they had to do like the Statue of Liberty or whatever. And the thing is, like, style-wise, it just didn't work for some of these guys because they had to go do a dunk that was from a one-footed jumper, and they were a two-footed jumper, whatever it was.
Yeah.
It was
yep.
it was crazy to watch. Hey, hold on 1 second. My dog is drinking loudly right next to me. I'm going to go take her water away. 1 sec.
Yeah, no worries, dude.
You can just entertain the fans while I'm gone.
All right. Hey, this is Cluck reminding you to enjoy some Redbud Coffee Roasters. Redbudcoffee.com, which I'm 70% sure is the URL. But just look up Redbud Coffee Roasters. Enter the code HAPPYRANT at checkout. You get a little cheaper, which is good in these dire economic moments that we're in. And Redbud Coffee. Enjoy it. It's the best coffee there is. Great packaging, too.
I just finished a cup of it.
Yeah, no, it's really good, dude. It's so, so good. I got to order some more, actually. I'm out. I got to remind myself every month, like set a little thing in my phone so that I remember to order my Redbud. All right, Pipe, should we roll it again?
All right, let's roll it.
Let's roll. Dude, there's some fan appreciation for the double ball thing.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of 10 cards being waved.
A lot of 10 cards. If I was in the crowd in 1990, I would have been waving a 10 card for sure. Look at this.
That's remind me so much of dunks that I saw guys do in high school. Like,
yeah, for sure, man.
Like really good athleticism, but not the same kind of mind-blowing thing you see from Aaron Gordon or Zach LaVine or who's the guy, Derek, his face from Miami. That's Kenny Smith.
Yeah, the Jet, man. Grabbing the rim with the left, coming through with the right. Dude, wearing that beauty of a powder blue Sacramento Kings unit, man. I love that. With the name across like the lower back.
Yeah, we're missing something in this because we can't hear the audio because we want to talk over this. So listeners, I'll embed this in our show notes on the website, and then also share it online. The announcers are so good during this; they're just so like,
dude, who are they? Who's doing it?
So it was Doug Collins was one, and then the main play-by-play guy I can't remember, but Doug was the best one. So there's Sean Kemp just missed a dunk, so he gets a second try on it. He's trying to go, like, throw the ball up in the air, bounce it, and then full windmill. He just looks like a different athlete than everybody else in this dunk.
He really does, man. Yeah. You put Sean Kemp in today, he dominates.
Yeah, he's what, like, Blake Griffin was a few years ago, and he just destroys
modern people. Athlete, man. Very modern athlete.
He probably develops a jumper at some point.
Cool looking dude too, man. Just the way he walked around, he had a certain swagger about him that I thought was incredibly cool in 1990. Dude, shout out to that Gatorade logo, that old Gatorade logo. Yeah. I dig it. Dude, shout out to the high top fade on this guy, Kenny Walker, right?
Kenny Walker.
Kenny Skywalker.
Skywalker, yep.
Yeah, just a little 360, you know, just keeping it low key.
Of all of the dunkers in this, Kenny Walker is the one. So Sean Kemp is the best, like you watch him and you're like, oh, he's going to kill somebody. Kenny Walker is the one who you're like, oh, he could compete in a dunk contest today. Like, he had style. He had, when he jumped, it looked like he was floating.
Yeah.
Some of these other guys look like they're having trouble getting the ball over the rim a little bit. Mm-hmm. He really did just float. And he had the best hair.
Shout out to when the Knicks weren't a joke, too. You know?
as a 37-year-old, I have minimal recollection of that.
Exactly, man. They were good at one point. This is fun, dude. Look at Kenny Walker. He's just relaxed. Miami Arena, nice aerial.
Yeah.
Dude, when do you think they, like, who first had the idea to sell the naming rights to arenas? Because it's so, like, it makes sense to us now.
That's a good question. Here goes Kenny Battle again with just the...
Just a very nondescript, like...
The reverse, like, slam. Bring the ball down to your waist and bring it back up. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's very clearly the doesn't deserve to be in this contest guy.
I wonder why he was in it.
I wonder if he just put up a few sick, like, in-game dunks or had won a college dunk contest or something.
Yeah.
They're doing a close-up of the net being tangled because of all the punishment that the guys are putting on it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're just...
Dude, look at Rex.
Yeah, he's... He's also a didn't quite deserve to be in this contest guy. Like, good athlete. Solid player for a few years, but
dude, if Rex Chapman existed in 2020 NBA, do you think he would have like sleeve tattoos, or do you think he would have stayed with kind of the like wholesome Midwestern, like coolest white guy at my high school kind of look that he's rocking right here?
Well, didn't he go through like a real, like his life totally, like I don't know if it was drug abuse or what, but life really fell apart and then he kind of pulled it back together. So, yeah, I think he would have – he very well could have gone like the Birdman route with, face tattoos and everything.
Dude, look at Scotty. Now, that dunk was impressive. Yeah. That just looked pretty. Look at this dude.
And, so he comes in, windmill, reverse, scissor kick, almost hits his head on the backboard. Like, he is floating.
Yeah.
And the judges think, what about this?
They're like, yeah, it's a B+.
Yeah, they're just not that impressed, and I'm like, they don't.
Like,
know
what do you
watching.
Have to do to impress these people?
45 for that dunk, and it was better than every other dunk we've seen so far, including some that have gotten 47s.
Dude, now here's Neek. Let's see what Neek does. He's going from the baseline. This was a favorite move of his.
Yeah, he did love the baseline dunk.
Yeah. So dude, same thing.
It's the same thing that Kenny Battle just did, where you bring it down, except that he brought it down to like his knees and then cocks it back. And it just looks better because he looks like he's about to rip the whole backboard down every time he does it.
Dude, somebody should be judging these Cosby sweaters and mock turtlenecks too, like with cards, you know.
Right. 8 for the dunk, 10 for the sweater.
Right.
Neek has a real nice little high top fade too. It's not quite as tall as Skywalker's, but it's pretty.
It's really flat. Like you could set a cup of coffee on it. You know?
And with the mustache is a nice little. And he has that little razor cut part in the front too.
Dude, it must have just rained chicks on you know what I mean? Like in the evening, like after all this stuff.
Atlanta had a reputation as a nice party town too, from what I understand.
Yeah. All right, here we go.
This is that old Billy Thompson again.
Billy Thompson, yeah. All right, what do you think of this, man? I'm such an old man. These are old man dunks.
Well, so this one is one where he grabs the side of the backboard and then goes underneath the other side of the rim with it. And you're like, it's one of those things that's like, it's really impressive athletically and not remotely interesting aesthetically.
Yeah, totally, dude. It's kind of like watching George Mikan's shoot.
That's why they just moved on from it in a hurry. They're like, all right, back to Kenny Smith.
Exactly. Dude, how tall was Kenny Smith?
6'2", 6'3"? I think they call him 6'3", which means he couldn't be more than 6'1 or 6'2 because they always lied about their height. He's like 6'7 with that hair, though.
Totally, man. The jet. He's going. Now he's getting ambitious here. This is good. He's going between the legs, off the backboard.
Yeah, so he bounces it between his legs, facing away from the hoop, off the backboard, and then turns around to go get it and dunk it. This is just...
Dude, that was sick.
Yeah.
I'm legit impressed with that. Dude, there's the Admiral. There's David Robinson, the only guy that's not going to the club later. Yeah, dude, that was an impressive dunk. Look at this.
Yeah,
Boom.
I think the reason that it looked... it's impressive because he's so much shorter than everybody else. Like, he's the one guy in this who looks like he has to get way up there. Because all these other guys are 6'6 and up. Here comes Sean Kemp with his 6'10
with his saunter.
Self.
Yeah. Dude, nobody sauntered like Sean Kemp.
No, he never looked like he was in a hurry unless he was full steam ahead down the court ready to destroy Chris Gatling.
Dude, not a care in the world on that guy. And the way he did that so nonchalantly, that looks like what I look like making a sandwich. You know what I mean?
Is that Sam Mitchell?
I don't know, but I like Sam Mitchell.
Yeah, I liked him as a player, hated him as a coach.
Yeah. Dude, look at this.
Yeah, so Kemp goes under his arm, flips under it up in the arm, air, and then the reverse. Just not a great dunk, let's be honest.
Not a great dunk, but I would give him a 10 for just nonchalance. You know what I mean?
If you get points for attitude, he wins.
Dude, like he could carry on a conversation during that dunk. You know what I mean?
See, the thing about Sean Kemp is like he wasn't a style dunker. He was I'm going to destroy your soul dunker.
Yeah, totally. Whereas, is why it looks so good in games and so like maybe meh in this.
When it's also like Neek was kind of the same way. Like, he just kind of did the same three dunks. Like Kenny Walker with a nice one, a little rock the baby under the hoop.
Dude, now that's, that one is low key super impressive.
See, Walker,
it happens so fast.
Yeah. Walker and Pippen are the two best dunkers in this. And the judges are impressed by other people.
Wow,
off of 1 foot, too. Like, that's a really nice dunk.
That looks way better in slow-mo, actually.
Yeah, a lot of great poster shots out of that one.
Yeah, totally. Also, Kenny Walker, cool-looking dude.
When was the last great Kenny in any sport?
Ooh, that's good, man. Kenny.
There's two Kennys in this dunk contest. It's not a name you hear a lot anymore.
Yeah.
Ken Griffey Jr. was just Ken.
He was just Ken, which is a dope name, too. Kenny Anderson for the Bengals in the NFL in the 80s, but that's going way back.
I mean, that's still this era, like 80s, early 90s. Like, that was the Kenny era.
Dude, Kenny O'Brien for the Jets, man. Kind of a second-tier NFL quarterback. Oh! Yeah.
So, whoa. Yeah, that was... So Pippen didn't make it out of the first round, which is terrible.
Dude,
Pippen,
that's astonishing.
Because Pippen was the best dunker in the first round. So we've got the two Kennys, we've got Sean Kemp, and we've got Dominique in the semifinals.
Dude, the judges must have had some like off-the-court beef with Pippen to put him on ice.
I think the problem is that he did a Jordan dunk to start. And he did it as well as Jordan did it, but they're like, we saw that one a couple years ago.
Yeah.
You're just constantly living in Jordan's shadow. Sorry, Scotty. You got
dude, speaking
hosed.
Of Pippen, look at his warm-ups, dude. This was Apex Mountain for warm-ups.
Oh, definitely.
Warm-ups never looked better than this era. All right, here's Neek just doing like a layup lines dunk.
Yep, just a generic 360 with a lot of power.
Dude, Neek is like, get me to the club stat.
So he goes through this whole thing. Like, I've already won a couple of these.
Yeah.
And so, like, I know that I'm going to get serious points. Now, that would look better in slow motion because he did almost hit his head on the rim. But
that's true.
It's still just kind of an average dunk by dunk contest standards.
Totally.
Yeah, he gets an extra point for every dunk just by being
Dominic Wilkins.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. 48 for that dude, and Pippen got a 45 for that sick thing that he threw down.
Yeah, that's Pippen was the great injustice of this for sure.
Yeah.
Like, I think he should have gotten in over Kenny Smith after that. Well, probably over Dominique after that first round. Here comes Kemp down the court.
Dude, now what did Sean do there? I want to see that from another angle.
Yeah, it doesn't look like anything because they did the behind him angle at first, and it's just kind of generic. Yeah, so he went full court, took off from where? Like a full step inside the free throw line?
Yeah, like a long step inside.
Yeah, so in the circle.
Yeah.
But then he cocks it back, cocks his legs back. So that's basically a wicked fast break dunk, not a good dunk contest.
Yeah, it's a nice fast break dunk for sure.
But that's the thing. Like, he never did anything fancy. He would reverse it sometimes and things like when he came baseline. But yeah, not really a dunk contest guy. 47-6 for that. That seems generous.
Yeah, I agree. Dude, look at the Jet. Man, the Jet is doing work.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'm kind of team Kenny Smith at this point. Look at this. That's a short guy doing all that.
Yeah, his dunks look better in slow motion, too, because you can see how high he gets up off the ground. And maybe it's just a camera angle thing. Like, the initial camera angles are kind of all from below, and so none of the guys look like they're getting real bounce. Oh, he's interviewing Jordan.
Yeah.
And if you can hear the audio, I think this is the part where Jordan's like, Kenny Smith, he's sitting right behind Kenny Smith. He's like, Kenny Smith's doing great. Not really known as a dunker, but he's a quick dude. He just has the aura of, I'm better than all these guys. Like,
exactly.
This is a dunk contest of who's the second best dunker in the NBA.
Jordan's like, for guys who aren't me, these guys are pretty good.
Yeah. Speaking of not being him, Kenny Walker tries to do the sort of lean in Superman dunk Jordan was famous for. And,
Dude, the funny thing about Kenny Walker from this era, I don't remember him ever being in a game. Like, my only recollection of Kenny Walker is dunk contests. Like, he must have gotten next to no minutes in real games.
Yeah, I'm about to look up his stats.
Yeah.
Oh, you want to know his career NBA scoring average?
Lay it on me.
7.
There we go. 7. Nice.
3,000 total points. I'm pretty sure James Harden scored 3,000 points last year.
Totally.
He had, 7 points, 4 rebounds, career average. This was Neek's best dunk.
I was going to say, that one from Neek was really solid. Good-looking dunk.
The baseline, full two-hand windmill. And the thing about his windmills is, like, he didn't sort of swing them around. Like, he went full arm extension all the way around. Yeah.
Dude, now, this one was pretty cool from Sean Kemp. I'm not going to lie.
He almost...
Dude, look at him saunter!
He almost brought the stanchion down, too.
Dude, I would love to live for a day as Sean Kemp. You know what I mean?
Do you want 8 more children?
I don't. That's the aspect I wouldn't like. But just he just looks so relaxed, dude. He's so chill.
Yeah, at no point does his facial expression change in this entire thing.
He looks like the kind of guy, too, who could get on an airplane and be asleep like 3 seconds later. Which that's the the person I'm most jealous of.
He is he's the youngest guy in the NBA at this point, and he's 20.
Wow.
Like, so that was also a different era. Like, there was one point that I think it was when Rex Chapman was out there, like, now remember, he should be a senior in college this year, which is not a thing they say about anybody anymore, because, like, what is a senior in college?
Right, he's missing his senior thesis, folks. You know, this is big.
Kenny Smith with the pretty but not exceptional dunk.
Right. Dude, I can't get over how cool that Kings jersey looks, man.
Yeah, I'm glad they brought those back.
I wish I had one of those in my closet. Miami Arena.
They just go to the same overhead shot, and it's dark, and they don't have cameras. Like, so it just looks like a black blob.
It's the same shot, too. It's the same unimpressive shot over and over.
So what was this dunk by Kenny? This is just
I don't know.
This is just like a takeoff from
Just a takeoff.
Oh, okay, low key favorite thing about this Kings jersey, name below the number in the back.
Yeah, dude, I dig that.
I missed that the first time around. That's sweet.
See, that one was better. That dunk was better than like
it was basically
than Sean Kemp's last.
It was basically the same thing Kemp did, except just a smoother.
A little farther out, too.
A little further out and by a dude who's 8 inches shorter.
Dude, Neek totally mailed this in.
Yeah, just jumps,
I mean, why not,
jumps from
why
one side and reverses on the other. You see that like four times a game in the NBA now.
Totally.
Yeah, he only had like three dunks. It was like a windmill, a reverse, and like a double pump reverse.
Right. We get some good analysis here from Dr. J. Dude, shout out to Dr. J's glasses in this scene.
He really does look like a doctor. Like he's like somebody I would go to right now and be like, "Doctor, I think I have coronavirus," and and I would trust his opinion on it.
Dude, shout out to that TNT logo from 1990 on the scorer's table. Ooh, Kenny loves the like between the legs off the backboard thing, but it's working for him.
Yeah, he reversed that one and you know put a little extra stank on it. That was
dude,
nice.
That was sick, man. That was sick.
How good of a basketball player was he?
I don't remember. I think he was pretty good.
I have no sort of
recollection
of him.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I remember him on those Rockets teams that won when Jordan was out.
Yeah.
But I don't,
Dude, who was the super yoked guy in the t-shirt in that shot a couple seconds ago?
Oh, I missed it. I was looking up Kenny Smith's stats.
Probably somebody's bodyguard.
See, Neek wins points just by like having his head at the rim and dunking really hard. He got a 49-7 for a windmill. Just a straight up windmill.
That's a travesty, man. If Neek wins this contest, I'm going to be unhappy. Dude, that was kind of nice there by the Jet.
Well, he saved his own dunk there because he tried to go like bounce it off the floor and then windmill to the other side, but he started to drop the ball. So he grabs the rim with his other hand and brings it around. Like, you can tell this is a total bailout.
Yeah. It was cool, though.
Yeah, it looked nice.
Yeah.
It's illegal, but it looked nice.
Right, right. Dude, Kenny Smith, a little wrist trouble. He's hurting.
So Kenny Smith was, like, his career high scoring average was 17.5. He averaged 12.5 for his career. Career high in assists was 7.5. He averaged 5.5 for his career. Like, just a solid NBA point guard.
Yeah.
Neek with the two-handed windmill. I feel like we've
another
seen that
windmill.
Before.
Yeah, another windmill.
Whoa. Kenny was a great three-point shooter. 40% for his career. Almost 44% career high. Man, he's one of those guys who would have been great today, like a sort of a combo guard or off-the-bench guard.
Yep. Neek. Dude, you know what I dig about this? The high tops.
Yes.
Like, everybody wore high tops.
Yeah, and like, they weren't like... This is before everybody had custom sneakers, so it was just sort of like, oh, Neek won. That's terrible.
Dude, that's ridiculous, man. What a travesty.
Yeah.
Dude, but yeah, the high tops, they were thick. They were chunky. Everybody's basketball shoes now, they all look like slippers. You know what I mean? They look like slippers or wrestling shoes or I don't know. I like the shoes from back then. And there were like, you know, two companies making basketball shoes.
Yeah,
pretty cool.
this was like 1990. Like Jordans weren't really a thing yet. Like he had his custom sneaker, but they were not a
it wasn't like a worldwide.
It was like Reebok and Nike, and who else was still
Converse?
Converse, yeah,
yeah. Dude, like Larry Bird and Magic both had Cons contracts, and they had them. You could get them in like their team colors, and that was as fancy as it got. Pretty amazing era, man. What a great uniform era, dude. Like, truly, why these teams don't just watch the 1990 slam dunk contest and go back to all those jerseys is astonishing to me.
Yeah, I think if the hairstyles and the jerseys came back, the NBA would be much more aesthetically pleasing.
Dude, so like, who is today's Rex Chapman? Is there a Rex Chapman figure in the league right now? Like an American white guy with hops. Does that guy exist?
Yeah, who there was a white guy in the dunk contest this year. Who was that? Hold on.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure there was. I might have just made that up.
Yeah, yeah.
This is great fun, just listening to
this.
Yeah,
no,
scroll.
This is good radio. Really good.
Pat Connaughton.
Oh, yeah, dude. Pat Connaughton. Was he any good?
I didn't watch it. I haven't watched the dunk contest in years because it's just, I feel like ever since Vince, nobody has ever topped his performance in, what was that, the 2003,
oh,
something like that?
Dude, yeah.
2002.
Just sick.
And,
yeah.
And then there was the Zach LaVine, Aaron Gordon ones. And like this year's apparently, I mean, like I went back and watched some of the highlights. The dunks were insane, but like, it's just boring. It's boring to watch them try dunks repeatedly. It's a little too gimmicky.
Dude, there's too many props, too many other dudes involved. Yeah, it's a gong show.
And the fact that they're constantly bringing out famous people to dunk over and stuff. I don't know. It feels like one big Instagram influencer video. I have no idea if Pat Connaughton was good. I mean, he was good enough to get in it, but he might have been Rex Chapman-y in terms of like, well, that was a quick out.
Dude, you know what's great about Pat Connaughton is that his name works in any era of like NBA white guy basketball. Like you could put him on the Celtics in 1954 and it's like, yep, Pat Connaughton, you know, totally.
Also works as like a coach or a trainer.
Absolutely. Yeah. Oh, Pat Connaughton's coming out. This must be serious.
That's right. Ah,
he's got just, the... Yeah,
massaging the cramps out of the guy's calf. Yep,
exactly, dude. Exactly. I love it, man.
I wouldn't mind if Coach Pat Connaughton replaced Ryan Saunders as the Timberwolves coach. So yeah, I think that would be a good fit. Actually, I would trust him.
Or Pat Connaughton like gets the high school job in your old hometown. Mm-hmm. Like, oh yeah, that makes sense. That's a good fit. Pat Connaughton. He can teach a little driver's ed. You know, a little American history.
He's the health teacher.
Yeah, totally.
Want to know what syphilis looks like? Open up to page 27.
Exactly, dude. Exactly. Oh, I love it, man. Pipe, this is fun. This is a good way to spend some time. I think we should just keep doing these. We need to go into the archives of different sports, find some great 90s stuff. What are you thinking for next time?
I have a couple ideas for upcoming shows. We can figure it out offline. One of them is a rethinking of past NBA players. So I've been inspired by the redrafts and just thinking about how the game has changed now where it's, you know, there's no hand checking. It's much more 3-point shooting. Who are guys who were like okay players in their day who would be phenomenal today? Like Dan Majerle, for example, is a good, he's a good one.
Dan Majerle, Detlef Schrempf.
Right.
Like we talked about before.
So doing some of that sort of rethinking past NBA, that would be a fun one. On an NFL front, thinking about guys today who would have been superstars 15 years ago, but they're not that great today. Like,
interesting.
Leonard Fournette, for example.
Totally.
Like,
totally.
You put Leonard
dude.
Fournette on like the 1993 Giants.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, he's Christian Okoye of his day kind of thing.
Yeah, dude. Lenny Fournette kills in 1993. Absolutely. Put him behind a fullback, dude. One of the real, like, sledgehammer type full dude. Lorenzo Neal and Lenny Fornes in the same backfield. He's rushing for 1800 yards every season.
Yeah. So that's one. I think we owe the listeners an NFL draft podcast.
Oh, totally, dude.
Just sort of a predictions or favorite players or something. So those are kind of the things I'm bouncing around on. And then any recapping old videos. It'd be fun to do it'd be fun to figure out a baseball one to do too. You know,
dude, we should do like a home run derby from baseball from the 90s or whatever.
The hard thing about a home run derby is just that it's repetitive. Like at least the dunk contest, they do different things. I was thinking find a compressed video of like a Pedro Martinez or a Greg Maddux start and break that down.
That would be good. That would be really fun. Let's do it, man. We got nothing but time in our houses.
That's true. And no sports of actually going on. So
the world is our oyster. The sports world is our oyster. Pipe, this has been fun, man. We've done what we always do on this program, which is wander to and fro throughout some items of sports history. And until next time, Pat Connaughton.
The Happy Rant is brought to you by Resonate Recordings. If you go to resonaterecordings.com, you can see the full range of services they offer. So if you're considering starting a podcast, they are the ones we recommend going with.
Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see their prices, to connect with them and ask any questions, and to see what they can do to help you launch, edit, master, and improve your podcast. Again, go to resonaterecordings.com to see what they can do to help you launch and improve your podcast.
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for working everything out for my good. Help me trust in your perfect plan. Amen.
Father, thank you for loving and caring for me.
With Christian Prayer Meditation, you can pray along to prayers based on specific topics. Go to lifeaudio.com or search your favorite podcast app for Christian Prayer Meditation. You can also download the Abide app for biblical meditations at abide.com.